Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shoot, lights out.
And happy Memorial Day to all the people who are celebrating this holiday here in the States. Yes, Shooting Lights Out, you see, it is early for Shooting Lights Out. Yes, we normally go around about 3:30, 4 o'clock, but since it's Memorial Day, we wanted to go early, do some things, get our stuff done, and then go do whatever else that Memorial Day brings to us on today. So yes, Shooting Lights Out is here live right now on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe and hit that notification bell. It's also live on my LinkedIn page, Darnell Playmaker Silence LinkedIn page. Slide over to the YouTube channel of the Playmakers Network. Hit that notification, hit that subscribe button as well. This day is an important day to my co-hosts. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cole Johnson, how are you, sir, on this day?
Well, I am doing well. And it's definitely important. Well, this particular day is important, of course, for a more personal reason, too. But yeah, it is a wonderful day. I'm doing well in spite of it and because of it, actually. So, yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day.
So we're not going to take too much of your time. So we're going to jump right into things. So, Mr. Johnson, where are we going?
We're going around the hardwood. And we're going to one of my favorite places in all the sports landscape, Indianapolis, Indiana. And why do I say Indianapolis is one of my favorite sports places? It's because it's the home of the National Collegiate Association of Athletes, or NCAA for short. Or otherwise what I call them greediest fools. Well, Division I's NCAA division cabinet, they discussed possible implementation of an age-based eligibility model, and it should be approved and signals that it would consider voting on it at next month's meeting. The NCAA said Friday that athletes whose fourth year of college eligibility was completed by the spring of this year, that's right, the spring of 2026, would not be given any more eligibility under the new model. It would also give flexibility to currently enrolled athletes, with those eligible after this season, to apply for the age-based model or continue previous eligibility rules, whichever is more beneficial to that individual. The NCAA Eligibility Center also would review any prospects who graduated high school before spring of this year but are not yet enrolled in college. Other high school prospects would also have to adhere to the age-based model. Now, the eligibility model would give athletes a window of 5 years to compete in Division I, starting immediately after their high school graduation or 19th birthday, of course, whichever comes first. It also would eliminate waivers for extended eligibility except for pregnancy, religious missions, or active duty military personnel. Now, the age-based model is similar to that of an idea included in an executive order issued by President Donald John Trump on April the 3rd. Your thoughts on this implementation of the age-based eligibility model, because I'm smelling the government is twisting their arm again.
You know what? I'm gonna do a very generous thing. I'm gonna let you.
Oh Lord. Okay. I love the fact that we have now on tape one of the greatest coaches in college sports. Doesn't matter the sport, but in this case, it's football. And Nick Saban, he was on national television almost 5 months ago. And he actually said, quote, the NCAA cannot enforce the rules they impose because they need governmental assistance to do it. Close quote. So not only are you greedy, NCAA, you also basically are, you're basically a paper company. You have these rules that you want to implement, but then you realize, oh, we can't really do it. And then you have to do an about face, like, oh, I don't know. Oh, like saying athletes actually could gamble. That's another good one. You know, athletes could gamble just as long as it's not on NCAA stuff, but they can gamble. It's fine. And it took a month of investigations after that announcement to realize you are talking to 18 to 22 year old men and women, and they don't have the discipline to do it because they're going to right and left put these programs in harm's way. And when I mean in harm's way, I mean make a scandal out of a place where a scandal should not happen. All because you all want to greedily benefit off of these players. Now, you have this wonderful implementation of an age-based eligibility model, but you need the help of the government to enforce it. And it probably, I would say, you probably didn't even think of doing this until the government, and not just the government, the president of the United States stepping in and saying, I'm a sign into executive order and push that we don't have that we do have this eligibility model, that we actually do have athletes that are protected from the ages of 18 to 23, that we now can march forward. But you didn't march forward with this until the president decided to sign an executive order this similar time.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, I signed the executive order to help the NCAA. I love my college sports, so I have to help them make sure we keep college sports going the way they're supposed to be going, you know. So, yes, we designed the executive order. It's an age-based thing that we're trying to do to help the NCAA so we can keep our college sports.
I signed it. I signed this beautiful, beautiful executive order. Beautiful executive order. And now the NCAA, they actually now can have this model that I brought forth to them first. And now they could say that they can be the way they are supposed to be. And trust me, folks, the NCAA was nothing before I decided to watch the product. When I decided to actually be in stadiums, you know, like in Tuscaloosa, or like in the Sugar Bowl for national championship, the NCAA was nothing until I approached it. You didn't do anything NCAA until the president decided to sign on the dotted line something similar. If you all don't wear enough egg on your face, this is another proof as to why you wear it all the time.
From the NCAA to the all NBA teams is your all NBA first teams, Mr. Johnson.
And I like all of them. I think that this is just. Look, Kay Cunningham is coming to his own. This was his year to actually show that he is a primetime player. He now is in one of the top 10. You got to put him in the top 10 now. It's unfortunate that he had nobody on his team that could actually rise to his level. Otherwise, the Pistons would be in the conference finals right now. But this was a coming out party year for Kay Cunningham. I'm glad to see him on first team. Luka, he's owning being a bigger, better, stronger, faster player of a franchise that is key to the NBA. Look, I can, and Playmaker 2 can clown the Lakers all we want. Fact of the matter is the NBA spins on the Lakers and the Celtics. It just does. It
does. That man went on about a month stretch and dropping 40.
Yeah. So, yeah, Luka, as Ludacris used to say, he's coming for the number one spot. So, go ahead,
put Luka. But that spot belongs to
the man in the center. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is straight up smooth like butter. Thank you, the late Fife Dawg of A Tribe Called Quest. His game is absolutely beautiful, and it's beautiful for the times that we are in now. And you know, people can complain. Well, he flops and he draws fouls. This game is how old? Since when did we never complain about a player embellishing? I can't think of a time when it was like, well, basketball players never embellish. They, you know, it was all men, and if it was contact, it was just contact. We played through it. No, they get coached to embellish. Believe me, why do you think charging is popular? And then you have the two big men, Nikola Jokic, who is the most fundamentally sound player in the game today. The dude is a walking, talking, breathing, spitting triple-double, season triple-double at that. And then the future, Victor Wembanyama. And he is proving why he is the future right now, because this dude, when he actually gets his body together, because his mind is already there and his game is already there, when he gets his mind together, this dude is going to be unstoppable.
NBA first team, second and third team, sir.
All right, I'll go with the third teams first. Jalen Duren, Chet Holmgren, Jamal. You four have been ignorant. How did you in the playoffs, all of you, decide to do vanity acts at some point in time during the playoffs? Yes, you too, Holmgren. But it's almost beautifully embarrassing to see you get bodied by Wembanyama. I think it's hilarious. Jalen, son, you're supposed to be the number two man. You're supposed to help out Kay Cunningham. You're supposed to be the Robin to his Batman. Where were you in the conference semifinals, son? Where, son? And then Jalen, look, the Knicks are still whooping your behinds. When actually are you going to actually dust off your game and show that the Hawks are back? And I don't mean back as in back to lottery status.
Hey, you can get Jalen Johnson to pass because nobody spent the Hawks even be in the playoffs.
Okay, fine. I'll give him a pass. But game six, the last game you played this year, anybody wearing that Hawks uniform, you don't get a pass because that was some horrible stuff. Allowing the team score almost over 80 points and a half. And then Jamal Murray. I thought you, sir, were 1A. I thought you were supposed to be as good as Nikola Jokic. You pulled a wonderful disappearing act after game two in the first round. We saw hide nor hair of you when you all went to the Twin Cities. And it was, and you should take it as an affront and as an offense to the fact that we had to say Aaron Gordon is actually the number two man in Denver, not Jamal Murray. You should take offense to that, son. I mean, wholehearted offense. Now, Tyrese, I apologize to you, brother, because you balled in both series. You balled. You balled as much as you could, and it's unfortunate you had teammates that just could not bring that energy with you. and could not carry that weight along with you. So congratulations to all 13, but
Paul George to a degree brought some.
I mean, yeah, he brought some on his birthday, and then after that, it was like spotty. same thing with Embiid. And the only one that I could say, he actually possibly might be doing something is my man EJ Edgecombe. Outside of him, I mean, every one of them just took turns. Oubre even just took turns to just contribute. And Maxey got no help. So shout out to you all for all 13. Maxey, you the man. Unfortunately, you are amongst garbage with the other four. And as for the all second team, Jalen, Brunson, keep being the bully that you are, sir. I love your game. I love your style. I love it. I love every bit of it. I love the fact you a little man and you're like, I'm not going to get knocked off my square, and you're going to have to bring a mighty big hammer to knock me off my square. I love your game, man. And yes, Wise, I'm complimenting a Nick. There you go. Donovan Mitchell. Spider.
Say something later in the show.
Okay. Spider. Oh, good. I could actually direct this. Let me save the venom for a little after. Jaylen Brown. Son, where were you after the team was up 3-1 in the first round? Where were you, son? Oh, I know where you were. You were putting more kiwi on your head. You was happy with how this season went? Come on, son. You got bounced in the – this is the best season of your career. You got bounced in the first round, and you won a championship the year before. How the world can you fix your mountain and say that?
2 years before.
Well, I mean, 2024. How can you fix your mouth and say some bull like that, man? How? Lord have mercy. And yes, please say F me, because I stand 10 toes down on what I said, son. Stop putting kiwi on your head and actually know that if you get bounced in the first round, it's a worse season than when you hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy.
And you was named Finals MVP.
And yes, and you was Finals MVP, and you were Conference Finals MVP to boot. But you know, this year was better than 2024's. Get out of here, Jalen. You should know better than that.
You know, I thought Justin Taylor should have been Finals MVP, but this needed to hear it on there.
Well, I agree with that. But
then you got the 2Ks.
What can I say about I'll say this about Durant really quick. You are wonderful for mid-range. No one still, even at your old age, can compete with you mid-range. But son, it is time for you to retire. Now, the Rockets brought you aboard to be one of the missing pieces to get them at least to another round. If not the conference finals, I know that was their hope, but I'm like, it's not going to happen because you're too fragile and you're too old. So my hope was, all right, let's see if he can get the Rockets past the first round. You couldn't even dress, son. Why? And speaking of fools who can't even dress, Kawhi, why are you stealing money? Why are you stealing more money from the Clippers? What's worse than that beard is you. Because you almost you are in a different lane being compared to Joel Embiid, where we're actually saying, oh my gosh, he's actually on the court. Oh, the countdown's on. What's the over and under? Oh, well, I give him 4 before he's back in street clothes. And how you actually are all NBA second team and you basically play a bench player's minutes in a year is beyond me. I know you got talent. I know you're considered the best two-way player in the game today, even now. But I'm sorry, you play 40 games in a year. I know it's probably more, but you play 40 games in an 82-game season. How do you even rate to be on any team, let alone second team? Walking cast.
And guess who's not on any all-NBA team?
Oh, yeah, James Harden.
Oh, guess who else is not on any all-NBA? Yeah, I wasn't talking about him. One of the names was correct, though.
Who is not on NBA's all-NBA first, second, or third?
Nope.
Who is?
I saw one Laker on here, but I don't see another Laker on here.
You ain't supposed to see him.
Where is he at?
He's exactly where he's supposed to be. You old son, retire now.
I'm just messing with him. I knew he wasn't eligible anyway. He wasn't eligible. Carlton Towns wasn't eligible. Who probably should have been an all-NBA, but he wasn't eligible. See, the 65 games.
I agree with that. I think Cat should have been eligible, but I guess he didn't play enough games.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of names that y'all probably looking for weren't eligible to make all-NBA team. So, there you go. All-defensive team.
How in the world did Kawhi Leonard end up playing 65 games as injury-prone as that fool is?
Y'all defensive team. Rudy Gobert, Chet Holmgren, Ausar Thompson, Victor Wembanyama, and Derek Rice on the first team. Your second team, Bam Adebayo, OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes, Dyson Daniels, and Cason Wallace on the second team.
Look, I was not aware of Scottie Barnes on the defensive end until this playoff round. I was like, oh, this dude active. I like him. Now I've known about Anunoby. My thing with him is he seems to be more invested in the game when his offense is cooking. Because when his offense is cooking, he's all over the court, and defensively he's better. But when the offense is off, his defense is off too. Otherwise, we'd be talking about one of the best perimeter defenders in the game. Bam. Look, it's unfortunate that people only know you because you scored 83 points, but then scored eight the next game, and that you are basically Asia Wilson's girl. Man, it's a shame that's how people regard you. But you've been a beast in the low block, and you have changed many a shot. So you earn your spot there, bro. And I'm loving that we're seeing Hawks being recognized because it's showing that this team is actually on the come up, and it's without Trae Young being on the team. So shout out to you, Dyson. And Cason Wallace, we could talk about Hartenstein and Holmgren and Williams, and we'll talk about J-Dub later, and even Caruso now. But the reason why the Thunder are the beasts that they are is, of course, SGA, and you're part of that too, Cason. So congratulations, bro. You deserve to be on this list. Now, for the first teamers, shout out to Derek White, because people don't talk about his defense enough. They don't. They say that he's a spot-up shooter only, but he's showing you that he has more game than that. So shout out to you. Ausar Thompson, I could tell you from experience, I see his twin down here, and I'm in. That dude is an athletic baller too, and Ausar. How he can athletically, he could be beat and still mess your stuff up. That his athleticism is off the charts.
Don't remind me, I've seen that a lot during the Magic series.
Yeah, his athleticism is off the doggone charts. Chet, you were doing all right, but you coming up smaller than mini-me right now, son. And I understand why. Rudy, I gotta tip my cap to you. You tried your best in the series that you played against the Spurs to show your wares. You tried, man. You really did try. But when you go up, and like I said, Chet, I say this to you too. But when you go up against the defensive player of the year, you look like an absolute doofus. And Victor, this is the first of many, and you are going to be the face of the NBA, bro. You just keep up, build that body up, and prove to the people that you can just simply smash them in the post, bro. You don't necessarily have to just, you know, run pick and rolls and run screens and run slip screens. You don't have to do that. You, with the big body you got, because you're only 235 now, but that 7'3" frame with a reach that's probably close to 10 feet, you can sum people up. And I'm looking forward to seeing you just make penetrators and shooters think twice about attempting shots. I'm looking forward to see how you're going to rule defensively, bro.
Man, that is your all defensive first and second team, and that will conclude Around the Hardwood. A commercial break, and then when we come back, dive into the weekend that was Memorial Weekend on this Memorial Day.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kiss from the block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
Welcome back to Shooting Lights Out with the playmaker. I am Cole Johnson, the man who is called the EP of all EPs and the mad scientist. Thank you, Bass. I appreciate that. We're sponsored by Fanatics, we're sponsored by Liz, we're sponsored by Paramount Plus as well. And with that, has lids on it. Go ahead, sir.
And with that being said, let's run a fast break.
That this guy is shown. Let me shut up.
Rebound by Adams, who's sixth. Moran blows by Primo. Attack.
And the first portion of Running the Fast Break takes us to the WNBA.
I'm glad we're going WNBA first because I want to unleash on these guys. Go ahead, sir.
So I think I should disappear from this one. Spotlight game for the weekend.
So spotlight game of the week is the Playmakers Liberty. They hosted the Dallas Wings. Which version would you want me to be? You want me to be the clean-cut analytic version, or you want me to just simply be the one who wants to go off on your liberty? Okay, you chose the latter. 91-76, the final score. The game wasn't even that close. How in the world, Liberty? You're much better than the Wings.
No, we're not.
Let me dial it back. I'm sorry. Who's the dynamic duo of Azizi Fudd and Paige Bueckers basically just cleaned the Liberty clock. 24 points on 6 of 12 from 3 and 9 of 15 from the field for Fudd. And for Becker, six rebounds to go with 24 points on 7 of 13 shooting. This was a coming out party in close to homecoming territory for Fudd, since, of course, she played a collegiate ball at University of Connecticut. The Wings, they just took over the second half. Let's just call a spade, as they say. They just took over the second half. It almost seemed like they just played with the Liberty in the first half and said, oh, this all you got? Screw you, Heifers, in the second half. Liberty. You gotta be better than this. This the Wings. The Wings ain't nothing. Come on now. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Thankfully, thankfully it'll be like 6-7 games into the season. So, but if it's the playoff was to start, they'll be the 4th seed in the playoffs right now.
The Wings. The only wings I like are that on an Angel and that on my plate to eat.
For the Liberty, Sabrina made her debut in this game.
Oh, congratulations.
We are still working in Satu Sadly. We still have a new coaching staff, so relax. We are 6 games in. Mm-hmm. We gotta have time to get the chemistry right. It's not going to happen when you bring in a new player like Satu Sabli. And plus, your point guard just started her season.
Working to beat down the Wings. Not working getting beat down by them. But, and yes, I am aware the Wings are a whole lot more talented than they have been the last 2 years. I am aware of it.
So for those who
are going to come at me and say, but the Wings are better, I know. I got it, and so does Playmaker. He knows I know that.
He just hates him that much.
Thank you. I do.
If he doesn't have to give him credit, he would gladly not to. But
exactly.
On this show, we give credit even though we don't want to.
Yeah, and that's how we should do it anyway. But yes, I really want to down the Liberty more than big up the Wings. But fine. I'll put the analyst hat on. If you all in the Wings, if you can get your front court to match what your back court is doing, you all going to be a problem come playoff time.
And the thing is, the Wings and the Liberty are in the same position. They got a new coaching staff. They got new players they're trying to figure out as well, both of them, which probably might be more easy for them because Jessica Shepherd and Alanda Smith both came from Minnesota. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, if you're a Wings fan, which – I know Megan Price is. Shout out to you, Queen of Hoops. I think, if I'm mistaken, Dustin Henry, I think he's a Wings fan too. Things are looking up for you. Things are looking up for you. Things are looking down for me because of it, because they represent the most hideous sports fan base in all the world. But that's besides the point.
So, yeah, spotlight game, Dallas Wings goes to Brooklyn, takes down the New York Liberty. Yeah.
And I still love Dallas.
And I'm trying to be the one that's trying to calm the Liberty fans down for right now, because let's give it some time. Let's see what we get by All-Star weekend, and then we can have some.
I'm going to gas you up, because you should beat the Wings. What's wrong with you, Heffus? But you're right. You should listen to Playmaker more than me on this regard.
So that's a spotlight game from the weekend. Wings. The quick hit, sir.
Okay. So the Fever, they seem to have found their groove a little bit. They beat the Valkyries, who that's not a small feat, 90-82. Although the Valkyries are in their second full season, they are a problem. But Caitlin Clark, she went for 22 points, 9 assists, and she is returned from her injury. And that might be a portent of things to come. Then again, if she gets roughed up, she might get back on the bench. The Fire, they beat the Tempo in the matchup of the two expansion franchise teams. Emily Inst here. She finished with 16 points and 7 boards as the Fire wins this first matchup between the two ever. And this game was in Toronto. So shout out to you, Portland Fire, for doing your job and beating the Tempo in the Great White North. And the Sparks, the team that Cool McCain acts like Clarence Carter on, I be stroking. They defeated the Aces 101-95. Kelsey Plum, she decided to boogie on her former squad, 38 points and 9 dimes, as she showed what the Aces are now missing. And what is it about these events that the Aces are holding? On ring night, the Mercury beat them down. And on better night, the Sparks beat them. Man, maybe Aces, if you win this year's championship, you might have to plan your victory celebrations for the year before in preseason.
I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry. I mean, what does he say? They got cooked by 33 on Reed night, and they got beat by 6 on batter night.
And a former player cooked them.
And a former player decided to beat them all the way down. I don't know what to say yet. I really don't know what to say here.
So those are the quick hits, and then the scoreboard sweep, sir.
All right, along with the Wings actually beating down the Liberty. Unfortunately, they could not pull the same task against the Dream. Thank you, Atlanta Dream. They beat the Wings, and the Storm decided to make me happy by beating down the Sun. Those results are from Friday. From the lone Saturday game, the Lynx decided to wake up from their slumber, and they beat down the Sky. Beautiful job from them. And the Dream on Sunday decided to say, well, no, it wasn't a fluke by what we did on Friday beating the Wings. They beat down the Mercury. And the Storm decided to say, well, yeah, we could beat down the little ones. We also beat the ones that's coming up too. They decided to go and beat down the Mystics yesterday.
So there you go. Those are your WNBA stuff. And before we move to the NBA, Mr. McCarthy, how you doing, sir?
Oh, as I switch, there we go. Ryan McCarthy, one half of No Credentials Required, and a wonderful, wonderful analyst of all sports, especially hockey. And he's a pretty good football and baseball, too. He says, happy Monday, fellas. Taking a quick break from grad studies to support y'all. And I'm actually going to do this on air. Bro, I'm going to have to actually talk to you about that because I've been thinking about doing something along the lines of what you're doing. So remind me. You see, you said on Shooting Lights Out Cold that you had to talk to me about school. There you go. And shout out to you, brother, for taking that step to improve on your life, man. Wonderful job you're doing, bro.
Appreciate you, Ryan. And continue striving for greatness, sir. Yeah. That was the WNBA fast break. The NBA fast break.
And speaking of fast break, Cavaliers, where's yours? I'm sorry, my bad. Go ahead.
I would start there first, but then
I know we're not going to start there. But I just had to say that. I was itching to say that, but go ahead, sir.
So down to the Final Four, as you know, East, West. But we starting in the West because that is the more up-to-date version of these conference finals,
as you can see, the more competitive of the two,
without question. As you can see, the first four games we are knotted up at 2 apiece because Mr. Johnson game 4 last night.
Game 4, I would have to say, it's probably, even with the routes that they put on the Timberwolves, this was probably the best game the Spurs have played this year. 103-82 final score. And this, seriously, this game wasn't that close. The Spurs, they took a hold of this game at the end of the first quarter, and they had it in control. The Thunder chipped away at the lead, at the deficit, all throughout the second quarter. But that Victor Wembanyama 3 to end the half from the logo, that pretty much sealed the deal. And speaking of Wembanyama, 33 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 dimes. This is going to be a really good series, man. I mean, and it has been thus far. The fact that this is probably the best type of series you can have, because each team has gotten the other on the other's home floor. So you just don't know how this now best of 3 is going to turn out.
I I am. Well, you see one side, you see an empty box. That's because nobody in the game reached 20 points.
That's what I'm saying. Who are you going to put for the Thunder in this game? I mean, they got look, you see it here. They only scored 38 points the first half and 44 points the second half. When have we seen this Thunder team score these few amount of points in a game?
SGA had it led the OKC with 19. That's the highest on OKC side. Outside of Wembanyama, on the Spurs, nobody on the Spurs scored 20.
And they didn't have to. Because basically the Spurs shine at the defensive end. I knew the perimeter defense of the Spurs was active. I didn't know them jokers were long either. I mean, long as well. I mean, these dudes have a wingspan that's like power forwards. I'm like, how in the world? They just kept getting the one ball after another and changing directions of passes all throughout this game. I'm like, oh my gosh, these dudes are active. Their hands are active. Yeah, to me, the Spurs are fun to watch on both ends of the floor.
Okay, see, I have problems because are we going to see J-Dub again?
Williams. Will we see him? Because
AJ Mitchell.
You need to see him in this series.
AJ Mitchell, he's injured. Are we going to see him again?
Yeah. Yeah. Jalen Williams, we need to see him in this series. And that, if he is injured, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a severe problem for the Thunder.
But it's best two out of three. And two of those games is in
Oklahoma City.
Yeah. So.
However, Oklahoma City, Thunder, just remember how game one went. Game five and or game seven could end the same way.
And kind of find out, somebody, a legendary figure, walked into the Spurs locker room after what took place in game three and had some choice words.
It had to have been Pop.
Yep. It had some choice words for them.
And I'm about to say, if it's Pop, ain't wearing choice. It was you, a sophist. Because y'all ain't playing the way you're supposed to play. You ain't active. You ain't physical enough. You don't even have to do the quote. I pretty much know what he told him. You ain't physical enough. You're soft on both ends of the floor. You make a poor decision on offense. And you act as though defense is an option. No wonder why the Thunder steamrolled your behinds in game three. You deserve to get that L. And if you play like that, you deserve to get an L in game four. Now, which team's going to show up? The ones that played in games two and three, or the one that showed up in game one in Oklahoma City?
Which led to game four.
And I will say it again. Even with the dominant performances they have put forth all year, even on the Thunder in the regular season two, and the blowouts against the Blazers and the Timberwolves, this is the best game the Spurs have played all season. The ball hopped around the perimeter. I mean, there were many possessions. All five touched the ball. They made great decisions. And of course, that's another thing. Castle was making horrible decisions with the ball. He made some really good decisions in this one. And it permeated through the rest of the team. And I think Fox being healthier has helped too. They played sharper. They played better. They were active on defense, which, of course, contributed to good offense for them. And they just allowed for Victor to dominate the way he can. And he just – there was a play where there was three Thunder on him. He just rose up and yacked on all of them. Ha! Shut up!
Watch your head, boy!
I mean, he just yacked on three blue jerseys. Ha! and one month.
All right, best 2 out of 3. It is going to be an interesting series going forward. Unfortunately, that is not the same case on the East.
Sure ain't. And what happened to you, Cavaliers? I mean, you all seem to be invested for the first 3 quarters of this series. You took that momentum that you carried from the previous series with the Pistons, beating them in 7, your second 7-game series victory. And you, for the first 3 quarters in game 1, you all played like gangbusters. You actually made the Knicks have to wake up, because the Knicks were thinking, oh, we steamrolled over the Hawks at the game 4. We steamrolled over the Sixers in every single game we played against them. Oh, so it's not going to be that type of party. The first 3 quarters of this series, you played as if you all were on top of the world. And from the fourth quarter in game 1 to now, you're playing like the world's on top of you. And let's go to game 3, shall we? 121-108. Look, I'm going to say it to you plain and straight, Cavaliers. The Knicks, they played with your sorry soft behinds in the second half. They played with you because they could have spanked you further than the 13 points than they did in this game. They played with you because you all were not interested in playing at all. You just weren't. So you had Jalen Brunson for the Knicks, 30 points, bullying him with 6 assists and 3 boards. Evan Mobley, shout out to you for actually showing up. 24 points and 6 boards. I'm sorry that no other teammate did along with you.
Donovan Mitchell had 23. James Harden had 19. That's off the top of my head.
From the points category, yes. But in the effort category, nobody showed up more than Mobley.
Hey, man, I need Donovan Mitchell to come out here and say if he's hurt or not. Is he injured or not?
And that's why I say that. Perfect, perfect, perfect statement.
Because he is definitely noticeable with him.
Yeah, because when he's into it, he's explosive. And when he's not into it, you know, he's lagging. But I don't think it's effort with him. I'm with you. I don't think it's effort with him. It's unfortunate if he's hurt, though. But yes, the Knicks with bully man Jalen just leading things. Not only are they taking a commanding 3-0 series lead, but Rocket Arena, you might as well call it Madison Square Garden West, because I heard more Knicks fans than Cavaliers fans on Saturday night. Embarrassing.
The Knicks all went away from reaching the NBA final for the first time since 1999.
And that was more of a miracle type of reaching finals. This is more along the lines of the team not quite as good in the regular season, but they have some of the tenets of the 1994 team that went to the finals. Some. They don't necessarily have the big presence like a Patrick Ewing, although Cat could serve as that, but he's not really that. But yeah, this Knicks team, man, they took that loss in game 4 in the first round to the Hawks personal. And it's like they've been taking out on everybody ever since. And they only had that one lapse of 3 quarters play in game 1 of this series.
And then decided to come back from a 22-point deficit with 7 minutes to go in the game. How y'all give up 22 points in 7 minutes? And I said from that point forward, oh, that Cavs are done. And
yeah, sure you did enough, say that.
Look you're right.
Yeah, you're right. They are done. And you were wondering why I was going after James Harden the way I was? That's why. Because they brought him into the fold for this type of moment. So the number one man is not really doing the business. He may be scoring, but he's not. he's not impacting the game the way he should. This is when someone like a James Harden is supposed to step up and lift that load, and he just hasn't done it. And that's what I find disappointing about him. And it's unfortunate. Evan Mobley is coming to play. He's doing what he's supposed to do, and no one else is coming up with him. And that is what's so, that's what's so disheartening about seeing the Cavs in this series. Oh, and Kenny Atkinson. One thing, son. Don't you dare say that two out of these three games was yours. What does the scoreboard say?
I know you probably don't have time, but I would love to go with it. I heard that quote.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
Kenny Atkinson, when you lose tonight, and yes, I'm going ahead. When you lose tonight,
it will.
I would not be surprised if the Dan Gilbert has a pink slip waiting for you.
I wouldn't be either.
Analytically, we won two games. The series is 3-0.
And you didn't play anywhere close to a good game in game two.
Oh, and by the way, that 22-point collapse that happened, you didn't call any timeouts. And what was the quote that he used? Oh, I wanted to save my timeouts.
Well, yeah, you can save timeouts for when you're on Cancun. Coach on the catamaran, be like, oh, you can actually style how you do your timeouts. Does this look better? You can actually show how you're gonna call timeouts now when you're on your vacation, dummy. That ran me hot when I saw that, man.
Look at the Western Conference, Ms. Johnson. He just like Pop. So. Oh, not timeout.
Yeah.
SGA don't score twice in a row. Timeout.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as he sees momentum slipping. Yeah. We got to stop this right now. Yeah.
OKC coach, same way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, timeout. Timeout. You use timeouts to, one, get your team a breather. Two, ask them, what is y'all doing out here? Because they look hungry right now, then y'all. What's going on here?
Three, what are you seeing? And this is what we're seeing. And so let's get on the same page so that I can understand what you're seeing and I can tell you what I'm seeing to help you be better than how you were before this timeout.
A 22-point lead cut and you didn't want to use the timeouts.
See, that's Phil Jackson bullshit. Because he would pull that. And sometimes he would do, but he had the talented team to pull this off. Where he'd say, I wanted to see if they can actually work their way out of the run that was being put on them. Kenny Atkinson, I wanted to throw praises in your direction because you have put forth a year where your team has gotten further than it ever has in 8 years. And then you come up with crap such as those two statements. How you excused how horrible you were coaching in game one, and to say in the whole entire series as a whole that, oh, we actually played two out of three games better and we should be up two games. No, you're exactly where you're supposed to be, because after the third quarter in game one of this series, your team and you have disappointed each other.
The Knicks have been putting belts to behinds ever since the fourth quarter of game one.
And they're going to continue to put belts to behind, because I agree with you. Spoiler alert, the Knicks will be in the finals about, 10:30, 11 Eastern tonight.
That this guy is showing. Let me shut up.
James off the steal. James with the stop.
Rebound by Adams, his
sometimes it's not even about the jerseys. It's the hat that sets it off. Snapbacks, fitties, truckers, whatever your style is, that's how you rep your team every day. If you're looking to upgrade your collection or find your next go-to cap, we got you covered. Hit the link in the description and shop the latest styles right now through Liz. Every team, every style, every day. Top off your fit the right way.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
And welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Real quick, let's go to the games to watch. WNBA style, sir.
All right. So tonight, we're going to actually have some WNBA action. The Liberty, they will be in Brooklyn hosting the Fire. 8 p.m. will be the tip-off, all times Eastern, I'm sorry, on the NBC Sports Network and on Peacock. And at 10, we go out west, where it's, of course, a local time tip-off of 7, between the surprising Golden State Valkyries, even more surprising than last year. They're hosting
the worst team in the WNBA.
The future Houston Comets. Thank you, Connecticut Sun.
And they're tanking on purpose.
I love it. I love you, son. Please. Yes. 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 I'll Daniel Bryan this one. Yes. 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 Tank. Bad.
They doing this on purpose, too. It is clear as day. It is clear.
I think they've been tanking since last year. Because I'm like, how the heck you go from the penthouse? How the heck you go to the penthouse to the outhouse in one off season?
I think Connecticut had enough.
They must have.
When I say Connecticut, I mean the front office. Because the fan base, they was rocking with Connecticut.
Well, your fan base is great. But yeah, I agree with you. I think I do think the front office is like, forget them.
And New York.
We ain't getting what we're supposed to be getting. And I think the love that we want to have, because we actually want to be in Boston. We don't really don't want to be here. Because we're too close to New York.
Speaking of New York, ladies, the Portland Fire are visiting Brooklyn for the first time.
What, treat them hospitably? Treat them hospitably?
The same way that they treated y'all the first time that y'all went to Portland.
Oh, treated with no hospitality. Okay.
So, do me that favor, okay? Please and thank you.
Not please and thank you.
Wednesday. Speaking of my Liberty.
Yes, they will host the Mercury. The tip-off is at 7 p.m., and USA Network will be carrying it, one of the NBC networks. At 8 Wednesday, you'll have the Sky, and they're hosting the Toronto Tempo. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. local time in Chicago. Up the ways in the Twin Cities, the Lynx, they'll be hosting the Dream. That tip-off is at 9 p.m., 8 p.m. local time. That game will be on the USA Network. And then you got two games that tip off at 10. We go to Portland, where the Fire will host the Sun. And the Storm, just a little bit up the ways on I-5, they will be hosting the Mystics. Tip off is at 10 Eastern, 7 p.m., both in Portland and Seattle.
Unfortunately, Cole, Connecticut might actually win that game because Portland's still a new team.
Yeah, I know. That's what sucks. So I have to think that way. Like, man, they probably won't be losing that game.
So there's a possibility they might actually win a game for once.
Right. Yeah.
All right. I don't have no graphs for the NBA because we all know what's tonight.
Yeah. What graphic do you need?
I don't want no graphic whatsoever tonight. And it's a freaking holiday, so.
So, yes, for those who are unaware, whenever we have holiday games, and normally this would be President's Day, MLK Day, President's Day, Resurrection Sunday or Easter, Mother's Day, and Memorial Day. Normally, it is not as bad on Father's Day if the season goes that far. Playmaker laments the fact that an NBA game is being televised because normally a rut will ensue. And in Mother's Day, one did. So here
Involving we are. One of the teams that's playing tonight. How interesting. Yeah.
Yes. So here we are tonight. Tip off is at 8 p.m. Eastern. And of course, 8 p.m. in Cleveland as well. They get to play in Madison Square Garden West against the Knicks. And both of us believe that at about 10:30, at earliest 10:30, possibly 11 p.m. Eastern, we believe that the New York Knicks will earn their way to their first NBA Finals in 27 years.
Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, do me a favor. Prove me wrong!
I don't give a crap you prove me wrong. I'll say it bluntly. Because your coach has put you in this situation. Your team is sucking in this series. You had what you supposed to have had. You had how you were going to play this team the first three quarters of game one, and all of a sudden you forgot, oh, wow, we're playing against a team that has steamrolled over two clubs and six games, and then you get steamrolled the following three by them.
Belts to behinds. By the Knicks. And by the way, Mr. Johnson, mm-hmm. How bad did the Knicks close out the Hawks?
I mean,
the fact that you shook your head answered that question. How bad did the Knicks close out the 76ers? Cleveland?
I mean, it was to the point where the fourth quarter. The whole arena knew, this is over. With Atlanta, it was after the first half. No, actually, in the second quarter, the whole arena was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. And you just heard a contingent of Knicks fans just going ballistic in Atlanta and in Philly. And we're going to see the same thing again in Cleveland.
Y'all want to prove me wrong, Cleveland? Y'all better fight like hell. Tonight.
You ain't gonna put me wrong because you all suck.
Or else it'll be another Memorial Day massacre courtesy of the NBA. And this time you'll have Jalen Brunson standing on top of the American flag.
And to be clear, this is what you'll have to face, Cleveland. When they closed out in game six against the Hawks, the Knicks put up 140 points against them, and they only allowed 89. When they closed out the Sixers in Philly, they decided to say, 140 is not enough. We'll put up 144. And we actually will take off playing defense because we don't really need to because the Sixers scored 114. Bump defense would just rout you.
A 50-point closeout game and a 30-point closeout game.
With an average of those closeout games of them scoring of 142 points. So understand, Cavaliers, the Knicks smell blood. They want to put the foot on their throats, and they're capable of doing it.
They want to check it out.
Yes, they have done it twice. They are gunning to do it tonight against you. Not not eke out a victory, not have the brownie points of yes, we beat them twice on their own floor. No, they want to show you you do not belong on the same floor as them. Understand that.
Now there go your preview. When we come back, Cole Johnson will be closing out the show.
No matter what you are watching, one thing stays the same. You got to represent your team the right way. Whether it's jerseys, hats, or hoodies, what you wear is part of the experience. If you're looking to upgrade your gear or getting ready for the next game, we got you covered. Hit the link in the description and shop official licensed gear through Fanatics. Every team, every league, every fan. Don't just watch the game. Represent.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there, seen LA Knight. Oh, okay, man. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
This goes to best woman player in the world. You're talking about the word integrity? Because they don't have any. You ain't got no balls, do you? WNBA owners, you ain't got no balls, do you? Really? Really? So we should just tip our cups, throw two cubes, throw ice cubes in a small glass, and just tip the brown liquor. You talk about compromising? Because they'll be compromised doing it. It's on. It's the utter blasphemy. I'm sorry about that. Professionalism. Now, normally you would probably be expected hijinks revelry and fun, and normally I do that for the reason of wanting to just show that, you know, this show, as serious and as analytical as we are, we actually can have fun too. But there's certain days where fun is just not on the menu, and today is one of those days. Now, for those who say to me, thank you for serving. And for those who don't know, I served in the Army for a couple of years. For those who say to me, thank you for your service to me on today, I do thank you. But I want you to understand, today is not for me. I have a day. That's Veterans Day. That's the day that is for me. Today is for the day that commemorates those who made the ultimate sacrifice, meaning those who served in the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and the Navy, and they lost their lives in the middle of conflict, in the middle of battle, like those World Wars One and Two, those in, of course, the Revolutionary War, those in the Civil War, those in different conflicts that have abridged the time America has begun, technically, from 1776 to now, which we'll be celebrating the 250th anniversary of this country being a country in about, 5 weeks' time? But this is for those who fought those wars and unfortunately didn't get a chance to see how things turned out. Didn't get a chance to witness how their fight, how their struggle, how their battle helped me to celebrate and be freer because of that sacrifice. It's something to be said when you actually fight and you do survive the fight. It's another when you are in the fight, but you die in it. It takes a special amount of compassion to think about someone who was willing to lay down their lives for people they don't know, lay down their lives for people they have not met, lay down their lives for generations that haven't been born yet. And yet, if you were to dig them up from the grave and you were to ask them the question, would you do that again? Would you actually say that you will fight and you will support and you defend the Constitution of the United States and defend her against all enemies, foreign and domestic? If you were to ask them that same question, they would give you the same answer. Most of them, I'm sure, would. And that would be unequivocally, yes, I would do it again and twice on Sunday. So you have to understand these individuals, just the veterans themselves, are special human beings because they're showing us what sacrifice means. They're demonstrating in real time what sacrifice looks like. Those who are now fighting in Iran, they're showing you what sacrifice looks like. And unfortunately for those who have already perished, they have shown you what sacrifice looks like. Even with a head of state that brags and says, oh, we've only lost however many amount of people. Now, if it was anybody sitting in my seat, the losses would be in the thousands. To that, I have this to say to you, Mr. President. The goal of losing whomever fights for America on any battlefield is to have zero casualties. Because if there's one casualty, it is one too many. Because it means it's one family, one more family that has to grieve the loss of their son or their daughter. One more family that has to deal with having on a certain day of the year commemorate the fact that they're gone. The fact that they have one more member where they have to look at this day and shed tears, not revel in cooking barbecue, in the fact that this young man or this young woman gave his or her life for our freedom. One more that has to hate the fact when Christmas and Thanksgiving and in any of the other important days of the year to come, and they don't get to wish you a happy Mother's Day or wish you a happy Father's Day. One more that is not here. And they're not here because they decided to give up their sovereignty, their lives, so that all of us could be free. They spilled blood on whatever soil in which they spilled it, so that we can actually have platforms like this and days like this where we actually can feel good and breathe fresh, clean air. Because there was times where that couldn't have been happening. Heck, even for me, there was a time where I could not have had it happen. Oh, what, 161 years ago? Because people like Playmaker and I were slaves. And now we're not. So, to those who gave their lives, thank you. Those who made the ultimate sacrifice, thank you. To those who died so that I could live, which that really is how Jesus did it. Because he died so that we all could live the life of grace, the life of freedom, and to not have the burden of, wow, I got to live life this way. I got to be so cookie cutter. Jesus took that off the plate for us. These young men and women took that off the plate for us to not have to concern ourselves with if we're free or not, or if we have to concern ourselves with freedom or not. So to all that have given their lives for us, I, on behalf of the 335 million Americans that live today, no matter what war you died in, from the American Revolutionary War to the one in Iran today, and all points in between for all of the 250 years plus, thank you, thank you, and thank you. The gratitude is never enough, but the love I have for you is all I can do to show how much I appreciate you for having me live the freedom that I can live today on this soil. A personal note, today is May 25th, and for those who are not aware, this is the day that my grandmother was born, and this is also the day my grandmother passed away. And 365 days ago, I got a chance to lament my first travel buddy not being on the planet. And yeah, it stings every now and then, but she lived a full life. Exactly 98 years. And to Selena Carter, Selena, I love you. I will always love you. And thank you for imparting upon me so many different lessons that I take with me now, that I implement to this day and to this moment. I thank you. I love you. And you also, even though you were not a veteran, and even though you did not fight on the battlefield, you gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live a better lives ourselves. My mother thanks you. My uncle thanks you. My cousins thank you, and I thank you. Programming note, the Monarchs of Wrestling that normally happens every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central, it will not take place tonight. Monarchs of Wrestling will be on live tomorrow night. That's right, May 26th, not May 25th. They will be on tomorrow. And you can catch it on the Play Caller Sports, Sports Talk YouTube channel and the Playmakers Network YouTube channel as well. Monarchs of Wrestling, the programming note, will not be airing tonight. It'll be airing live tomorrow night. So for those of you who are here, thank you. For those who have liked and shared and subscribed to this channel and have shared this program, thank you. To those who talk ill about and no matter what you do, I hope that you all do it safely, do it responsibly, and remember the ones who are special in your lives and the ones who gave their lives so that we could be free. So for the Playmaker, I'm Cole Johnson. We will end this program on a moment of silence for those who gave their lives for us to be free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Girl, that's the only way to go. Let's go.